December the 29th, only six games, but boy, we have some stuff to talk about. That Houston-Miami game was interesting, to say the least. This is the Sunday, this is the Sunday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. You can find us at FBI Basketball. Head over to Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you're listening to or watching your fantasy basketball content. We appreciate any subscribing, any liking, any downloading. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Six games only, but we had some interesting ones. So let's get straight into the action. First game of the night, Brooklyn and Orlando. Very topical given the trade that happened only hours earlier. Of course, the Nets were without Dorian Finney-Smith. They were without Shake Milton, who were both moved to the Lakers. And D'Angelo Russell will be coming back in. He, of course, didn't play. Trade doesn't happen that quickly. So we got a couple of small changes. Cam Thomas also returned. Let's start with the players that were discussed as beneficiaries or winners or losers relating to the trade. Noah Clowney started. He played 28 minutes. He had 13 points with two rebounds. So I would say not a great night, not a terrible night. What is he going to... I mean, we talked about this in the pregame show. What's his role going to be? I think as of where the team stands right now, and this is based on the current roster construction and not if Nick Claxton is moved, if Cam Johnson is moved, we don't know what's going to happen. I think Clowney needs to be added, but I do think people need to manage expectations when having a look at what he will do for the next 6 weeks. He will be... a little bit like this, not a lot in the peripheral stats, points and threes, and hopefully he figures out some stuff on the defensive end because that is where some upside can come, I think, for Clowney. Ben Simmons started in this one. He played 31 minutes. He will probably take a hit when D'Angelo Russell comes in. He probably moves to the bench. I don't mind it for Simmons. I still think we have to hold him. He doesn't rely on high volume scoring or anything. His assists, his rebounds, and his some steals. So that should stick. As long as he's playing 28 minutes, which I think he will, his role should remain largely unchanged. Let's talk about Cam Thomas. He returned. He played 25 minutes off the bench, and he had 25 points. He took 18 shots. Six rebounds, six assists are nice. We don't usually get a lot in the way of supporting stats when it comes to Cam Thomas. I don't think this bench role will hang around too long. I think he'll be back in the starting lineup fairly quickly. I would guess that their starting lineup will be it'll be bad. It'll be Cam Thomas. It will be D'Angelo Russell at their guards. It'll be Cam Johnson, as long as he is there. It'll be Nick Claxton. And then who is their fourth starter? Is it Noah Clowney? They could play Simmons at the four, obviously. It really could be a number of players here. Jalen Wilson could step in. Hard to know. But I think Cam Thomas will certainly be in there. As will Claxton, Johnson, and Russell. As for those fringy guys, Jalen Wilson had 16 points. I think he probably gets a bump as a result of this trade, but he is still pretty limited in terms of what he brings to the table fantasy-wise. And Claxton, we're holding him, but this is pretty rough. 6-5 with a steal in 32 minutes. Dayron Sharpe had 8-6 with two blocks, one steal. I hope there is a period here, whether it's via a trade or an injury. Well, no one wants an injury, but if De'Ron Sharpe can step into a 30-minute a night role, man, he would change things up, I think. He is one of those guys who is could be a very, very good producer. Orlando, who actually won this game, I didn't say the result, sorry, 102-101. They were down big in the first half. Jalen Suggs only played 13 minutes. He left with a wrist sprain. He was favouring that wrist for much of the game, so not surprising to see him sitting the rest of this one out. With him out, we got minutes all over the place. I mean, Corey Joseph played, so that's how bad this roster is at the moment in terms of depth. But let's look at the good stuff. Tristan Da Silva, who had been playing well, we finally talked people into adding him, and then he was terrible. He was good again in this one, 21, 7, and 6 with a block. Probably should be added at the moment just based on the opportunity. Goga Badadze, who is, I just think this starting center spot is his. I don't think he's giving it up. I don't think Wendell Carter is coming for it. Badadze had 19 and 11 with 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Wendell started in this one and had 13 and 6. Carter's probably a hold right now as we sit with injuries, especially if Suggs is out. But we will get to a point, I think, where Carter can be dropped. And look, we could be there already. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is just a streamer for threes and steals. He did get you 2 steals, but 0 threes. And then it's just a whole bunch of not much. If Suggs can't play in the next game, Cole Anthony started the second half here. So we would assume he would start, but we've seen Orlando mess things up and go with Travell and Queen, who after a couple of good games is basically out of the rotation now. Does he come back in? Do they go full old terrible mode and play Corey Joseph or Gary Harris? I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to know here what they're going to do. So I think De Silva, I think Carter at the moment, Goga, Suggs are our must roster players. Isaac is very, very fringy, as is Caldwell Pope. All right, second game of the night, Atlanta at Toronto. Not a close game. Atlanta get the win here, 136 to 107. Still no Dyson Daniels. He was out with an illness. Not surprising. He missed the night before, so nothing to worry about. Hopefully he'll return for the next one. But with him out, Vete Krejci started again, had 3 steals and a block. So if you were streaming him in today, you're happy with the defensive stats, but only 5 points. Trae Young had 34, 10, 5, 2 blocks, 1 steal. Oh, sorry, 10 and 2, 2 blocks, 1 steal. So a nice night for Trae Young. Jalen Johnson, only 15 points, but 6 steals, a block. Just continues to be tremendous. Even Risacher had a good game. We're not adding Zachary Risacher. There were guys out here, and that's what it took for him to be even close to relevant. So no, thank you. Garrison Matthews had 2 threes. If you streamed him in, that's okay. DeAndre Hunter, another very DeAndre Hunter game. 22 points, 8 of 11 shooting, 2 of 3 from 3. 4 of 7 from the line, weirdly, but he did have 3 steals, which we don't get every day, so that's a bit of a bonus. Onyeka Kongwu returned, played 18 minutes, had 15-4 with 2 steals and a block. And with Larry Nance out, we still don't have word, I don't think, on Larry Nance. I'm assuming this is a fracture, like I said in the show yesterday. It means Okongwu has a pretty clear path to 20 minutes a night, at least once he is healthy. I would probably go and add him just because I don't think they want to play Capella more than about 26. So Okongwu should play 22 as a minimum, and if he's playing well, could certainly play 26 or 27 while Capella is a little bit limited. For Toronto, they welcome back Jakob Poeltl. They welcome back Bruce Brown. Still no Emmanuel Quickley, but we're getting closer to what the rotation might look like here. And decisions to be made. Scotty Barnes, despite the loss and the 8 turnovers, everything else was okay. 19 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. And the shooting was pretty good, 7 of 12. RJ Barrett had 17, 6 and 4. This is probably more in line with what we should expect to see from RJ moving forward. So decent points, some assists, not much defense, and serviceable from the free throw line, let's put it that way. Jakob Poeltl, 27 minutes. He had 13 and 6 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. So right back to where he was when he left. His return obviously makes Kelly Olynyk, Chris Boucher, these guys here can be dropped. Agbaji, we shouldn't have been rostering him anyway. Grady Dick is probably the one we want to talk about here. 25 minutes, 6 points. He had 2 steals. I'd probably be holding for another couple of games, but this is not looking good. I think he's going to be very back end at best, and maybe he falls into that stream discussion as opposed to must roster. Bruce Brown had 12, 3, and 1 with a steal in 19 minutes. We know what he can do. We've seen it in the past, but he needs 28 minutes to get there, usually 26 to 28, which he could. He could get there, but I just don't think he will on this Toronto team that is really not playing for a lot. And, once Quickly is back in, Davion Mitchell's got to come in somewhere. I mean, he may not play, to be honest. But Jamal Shedd has looked good in his limited minutes, so I think they would like to keep him in the rotation, and the same goes for Jacoby Walter. So it's going to be a bit of a messy rotation, I think, in Toronto. Indiana at Boston, a good win for the Pacers, 123-114. I'm not going to say they have the wood over Boston, because Boston beat them last year in the playoffs pretty convincingly, but they do find a way to win these games. We got a really nice Tyrese Halliburton game, 31 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 1 steal. Great if you've got him on your roster. Siakam had a nice game as well, 17, 8 and 6 with 3 steals and a block. Mathurin, 14 points, not much else. He's a rosterable player, I guess, but upside pretty limited at this point. I think Nembhard needs to be rostered. We talked about him on the pregame show. He shouldn't be, but he is doing stuff. 17, 8 and 8 with a block, so just make sure he's rostered. Miles Turner, not his best game, 13 and 6, 0 blocks, but he's been fine. Thomas Bryant played a few extra minutes. He had a bit of momentum in this one, 8 points. We're not rostering him. We're not rostering Ben Shepherd or Jairus Walker. Or TJ McConnell is just a stream. Only 3 points here with 1 assist, 1 steal. So pretty poor night for him. And we certainly don't need to be rostering him permanently. And Obi Toppin will obviously come back in here. And that's why we're not worried too much about Jairus Walker. For Boston, they were without Kristaps Porzingis. They were without Drew Holiday. The numbers are fine here. No one really, I would say, I mean, Jaylen Brown is playing really well at the moment, so possibly a bit of a sell high on him. Tatum has regressed a little bit, but still a very nice line, 22, 9, and 6 with 3 steals and a block. Al Horford, 5 points. He's still someone we roster when Porzingis is out, but otherwise he is fine to leave alone. Sam Hauser had 3 threes. That's why you stream him in. And Pritchard, 21 points. At one point, he was just going off and couldn't miss. 21 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And we're not really looking at any of those other guys other than Luke Kornet. Again, when Kristaps Porzingis is out or Al Horford is out, Kornet seems to have moved into that backup center role when he can get you rebounds and blocks. He had 9 rebounds and 3 blocks. All right, Memphis at OKC. Slow start here for the Thunder, but they end up pulling away, getting a pretty easy win, 130 to 106. Let's start with Memphis. They were without Ja Morant, as we know. They were without Brandon Clark. Zach Edey is in the concussion protocol. So we got a little bit of a shuffle in their rotation. John Conchar started. He had 15 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. that's what John Conchar does. If depending on injuries and that sort of thing, he has stream value. We've seen him do this before for a week or three games, whatever it might be. Scottie Pippen also started. He had 10 points, 6 assists, a steal and a block. So as long as Jar is out and as long as Marcus Smart is out, he is a stream sort of short-term add option. Luke Kennard, if you need threes, he had 4 of those. I'm pretty sure I streamed him in. Maybe in one league. With the center depth really tested here, we got 17 minutes of Jay Huff, and he Jay Huffed it. He had 17 points and nothing else. He typically would get a block in that time, to be fair. But look, he can be streamed if Brandon Clark and Zach Edey continue to be out. He is going to have to play 15 to 18 minutes a night, and that's probably just enough to be picked up as a short-term option. Jake LaRavia also left this game, I'm relatively certain, with an ankle injury. Yes, he did. And I only know because I streamed him in and he did nothing. He had 0 points in his 14 minutes. If he is out, it's just a few more minutes to go to Cam Spencer, Luke Kennard, Scottie Pippen, John Conchar. That's why they would all move into that discussion. For the Thunder, Cason Wallace returned, Lou Dort returned, which meant Aaron Wiggins was a little bit limited, but he still saw good minutes here with the blowout. As for Dort, he Dorted. We don't need to roster Dort. Cason Wallace, steel streamer. Caruso will be back at some point. He will just complicate this even further. So we're rostering Jalen Williams. We're rostering Isaiah Hartenstein and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's really about it in terms of Oklahoma City. Isaiah Joe is a three-point option every day of the week. He had 3 of those tonight. He's probably the safest in terms of streams because that we rely on one thing. That's it. We know his role and that's what it is. Lou Dort, his minutes are usually safe enough that if you're streaming him in, he will do a little bit more than this, but we know who Lou Dort is at this point. All right, Miami at Houston. What a game this was. Miami get the win, if anyone cares about the result, 104 to 100. Houston were up for a lot of this game. Miami, they were just tougher down the stretch. That's one way of putting it. But the talking point, obviously, to come out of this game was the 5 ejections. I think it was 5. That's a lot of ejections. Let me have a look. So Rozier was ejected. Tyler Hero was ejected, Jalen Green was ejected, Amen Thompson was ejected, Fred Van Fleet was ejected, and 2 coaches were ejected, Ime Udoka and one of their assistants were ejected. So 7, if we count the coaches, 7 ejections in this game. Let's start with the Miami side. Tyler Hero had a good game, 27 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. I'm not really going to give my thoughts on the incident that went down. Tyler Hero is not one of my favorite players. I'm not backwards in coming forwards about that. I don't know. He just comes across as a little bit arrogant, although a lot of players are, and you probably have to be to play at this level. But that's more of a personal thing. He's still having a very good season. I had him in my all-star team, so you can't really say that I don't give him the respect he deserves because I've put him in there. And he had another good game. I don't think there's a suspension coming for him. I think he'll be okay because he got thrown to the ground and then ran away. He didn't want to fight until he had about 40 players between him and Amen Thompson. So I think Hero will be all right. Terry Rozier, on the other hand, might have a suspension coming his way. He was inbounding the ball when it happened and he basically ran in and tackled Amen Thompson. Yes, it's right to stand up for your teammates, but I think there's a better way to go about it than that. So he will, I assume, get a suspension. It'd probably just be a game, 2 games. I don't think it'll be too much, given Naji Marshall, Yusuf Nurkic got 3 and 4 weeks respectively for basically coming to blows. So I think this was not as bad. Bam, not a great night for him. 12 and 10 with 3 steals. Kevin Love, whatever, who cares. Hayward Highsmith, one of his random good performances, 15-8 with 2 steals and a block. Jovic was also really good off the bench here with 18 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. It's a bit of a lucky dip when it comes to streaming in Miami as well. Jaquez, who had been playing reasonably well. As I said, though, the minutes were still a little concerning, and tonight the minutes were down again, and so was the production. So, yeah, we don't need to worry about Jaime Jaquez. Jovic and Highsmith are probably streaming options if Rozier misses time here and Jimmy Butler continues to be out. We also had Duncan Robinson out. Josh Richardson, who apparently still plays in the NBA, was out. Alec Burks might be someone to look at in deeper leagues if you need points. Khalil Ware played 14 minutes. I still like him. He had 7 and 7 with 2 assists and a block. He has an impact, but he's not playing enough at this point. For the Houston Rockets, Amen Thompson, let's start with him. In terms of his production, not a great game. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists and a steal. With Dylan Brooks back, he moved to the bench. The minutes were still very good, though, 32 of them. He wasn't featured at all and just didn't have a great game. Tari Eason being out here again also helped with that. But Amen Thompson, probably a suspension coming for him, I think. As I said, he threw Tyler Herro to the ground. I don't know what was said. There have been rumors, I suppose, that there may have been some racial motivation here. I'm not sure at all if that's true. It's just what I've read. That could impact the outcome if that is proven to be true. But at this point, it's all speculation. So based on what happened, the physicality of it, I think he probably gets a 1-game suspension, 2 at the worst. Dylan Brooks said he returned and wasn't involved in the fight. That was sort of weird. 22 points, 4 rebounds. He continues to shoot the ball really well, and you just roster him until further notice. Jabari Smith went back to the old Jabari Smith, 7 and 3 with nothing else. Hold him. He's been better than this. Tari Eason surely is getting closer. He's been questionable for 2 weeks. Cam Whitmore did not step up. Again, he had that one or two good games and then has basically done nothing. So I don't think we need to concern ourselves with Cam Whitmore once they are healthy. And Steven Adams got some rebounds, but that's about it. He's just a rebounds streamer. And the last game of the night, San Antonio at Minnesota for the Spurs, continuing to go with the same starting lineup. And they went with a lot of Harrison Barnes in this one. So he had been playing 20 minutes. He played 34 here. That was purely because he was just impacting the game. He had 24 points. He had 5 rebounds and nothing else. He shot 8 of 9 from the field, 5 of 5 from the line. No, we are not adding Harrison Barnes. Yes, we are holding Jeremy Sochan. He had 5, 4, and 1 with a block, but he'd been much better than this. Wemby, freaky again. 34 points, 8 rebounds, a steal, 2 blocks, 4 threes, a mind-bending dunk that he did towards the end of the game. I still don't know how he even got that in. It really looked like a Monstars dunk with the way his arm sort of came through underneath defenders, and he dunked it anyway. It's Wemby. Devin Vassell was much better here offensively, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. I'd like some defensive stuff, but it's baby steps with Devin Vassell. Chris Paul had 14 assists and 4 steals, exactly why we are rostering him. Champagne, with Barnes playing well, he played only 11 minutes. This is why he isn't a must-roster player. Same goes for Steph Castle, who had nothing in his 8 minutes. Keldon Johnson had 13 points. In 17 minutes, I'm not really rostering any of those guys, to be fair. All right. And Minnesota. Where do you want to start? Mike Conley, just drop him. He started 23 minutes, 5 points, 3 assists. I think there'll be a period in the season where he figures things out and it doesn't look so washed. But at the moment, he's a drop. Dante DiVincenzo is not a drop. He is an add. 26 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 5 threes. Playing very good. This is not as good as he was in New York, but that he was playing 84 minutes a night in New York. So he's looked much better. He should be rostered if he was dropped or if he is still available. Rudy Gobert had a nice night, 17 and 15 with two blocks. Jaden McDaniels, 12 and 10 with a steal and a block. That's 12 team worthy, but he's very up and down. I think when all is said and done this season, he'll end up being a top 140 player, which you would say, oh yeah, that's rosterable. But he's going to have 2 weeks of top 250 and then a week of top 90. It's very up and down. So if you can put up with the ups and downs, he's a really back-end hold, I think. Naz Reid, disappointing again. Probably should be rostered, but he's certainly not hitting the heights that we saw last year. He had 11 and 4 with a steal and a block in his 21 minutes. And that's it for the games. Let's have a quick look at questions. Okay. Shining Knight, would I drop Claxton, Vassell or Herb for a man? He's on the waivers. Probably not. Vassell, no. Herb is a maybe. Herb is sort of similar to a men. He gets slightly more threes but less rebounds. But he plays a consistent role. A men played 30 minutes tonight. I don't think that's going to happen once Tari is back. Claxton, for me, is the one I'd consider just because he's looked so bad. But again, he is starting. If you don't need blocks, then yes, I would drop Claxton. He would be the only reason. That's why I'm holding Claxton. If I need blocks. Lone Des, with all these Grizzlies player injuries piling up, especially with their forwards, do we roster John Conchar? I think we take a flyer on him. We know what he can do. He's a good rebounder. He gets some assists, defensive stats. Doesn't score a lot, but he's sort of a little bit Draymond Greeny, but a younger, more appealing version of Draymond Green. Cam Thomas killed my Tyrese Martin stream. Yeah, that's what Cam Thomas does, isn't it? And yes, that's true, Alex. There is a suspension likely coming up for a men. It'll depend on your league. Someone who's sitting at the top of the standings might say, oh, I can grab a men for free here. No one's going to be interested in him. And yes, I do think there is probably a 1-2 game suspension coming. Are we sure D-Russ starts? Thomas could just move over. Yeah, I don't know for sure. I don't think his future is in Brooklyn, but not sure he's moved this year, but come next year, he will likely be somewhere else. So if they're of the opinion, it'll really depend. If they're of the opinion where, hey, this is D'Angelo Russell, we're just going to run him out for 34 minutes a night and let him cook and do whatever he wants to do, then he'll start. But if they go, well, we don't really see him as part of our future, we'll just play him as almost in a Malcolm Brogdon role of 26 minutes off the bench. We'll start Ben Simmons. We'll start Keon, with Jalen Wilson, all these guys. Then, yes, maybe there is an opportunity for him to come off the bench. So I would think they would start him at the moment, but let's see. Let's see. There is a world, I think, where he doesn't start. I'm just not sure we're living in it. How badly should we be wanting or trading for Vassell in a 10-point league? Shot fell tonight. You think he's going to pull it together? Yeah, look, his shot did look good tonight. He has been pretty inconsistent offensively and hasn't really got that defensive floor at the moment to fall back on. How badly should we be wanting or trying to acquire him? I think... I don't think he's going to be... We've talked about him a lot, actually, in the last week, I want to say. I still think he's top 50 player long-term. I don't think it's this year, especially with Chris Paul around, because I think he can handle the ball a little bit, but he's just not getting the opportunity. So I don't think he's top 50. I think he's probably top 70. So if you can wait for a couple of bad games. If I look at his game log here, he had 22 points today, but prior to that, he had 10, 11, 15, 11. 23-4, 23-7. So he's up and down. If you can wait for a couple of those poorer games, then if you could throw out a top 100 player and get him, I probably would. What is my estimate on the Suggs timeline to recovery? Is he a drop in a 10-team points league? I don't think so. I don't know if there's been any word as to what this is. I think they called it a wrist sprain, which if it is a sprain, that would be probably a couple of weeks out. So I don't think he's a drop. Drop Suggs for IQ. But could you just move IQ Suggs into that IR spot? Maybe. But, yeah, I wouldn't be dropping Suggs yet. I would wait until we get – if we get word that this is 6 weeks, then probably yes. But if it's only going to be 3 or 4 games, then I would be holding him. Is Vassell viable again? I think he was always viable, although this is in your points league. Still haven't dropped, but now I have no streamer spots with Middleton, Mark, D'Lo, and Vassell taking up those spots. Yeah, I think he – like I said, I think he is top 70, top 60. Do I think that's 6? I hope it does. They played him – I mean, the minutes tonight were – the most he's played, I want to say. Oh, almost. So, I mean, he's played 36, 34, 36, 32. There was a blowout in there, 38. So he is pushing now into the mid-30s in minutes. And I think if that sticks, he will be like a 24-4 with a steal. If Chris Paul was to ever get injured, maybe that's 24-5 with a steal. And I think he has upside to get to 1.2, 1.3 steals for stretches, not for the whole season. What else have we got here? Yeah, no, I don't think the Nets will be buying out D'Lo. It just doesn't really make sense. And I don't think they can trade him or will trade him before. Like I said, I don't think he is on the Nets next season, but I'm not sure they move him before the end of this year. So they may just run him out, let him go. Between Concha and Clark, who would be the better add? Well, Clark's out at the moment, so it's probably Concha. Clark, if Edie is out, we saw what Clark can do. He started, although for some reason on Yahoo, FanTrax, I think, he doesn't have center eligibility despite starting at center for a number of games. Good work, FanTrax. We saw what Clark is. I don't think he's ever going to get into a 27-minute role. They're going to keep him at around 22 to 24, which can be enough. But Concha, they'll play him 30 minutes if they need to, and he puts up numbers. So I think Concha for me. Clowney will be better than this. Yes, he will. What we expect from him now is probably going to be very different to what we expect from him in, I don't know, a month after the trade deadline. So I think he's probably top 120, 130 for the next month, and then he could be top 80 for the rest of the season. Do we see Nembhard having rest of season value? Yeah, he's an interesting one. Like I said, he shouldn't be, but he is sort of – he's been good. And that's got a little bit to do with Halliburton not being great. I do think if they all hit their straps, Nembhard probably scales back. I think he's probably rest of season borderline, top 120-ish, top 130. He's top 80 over the last 2 weeks. I don't think that's sustainable. But I think he's probably one of those guys, if you just keep him on your roster for the rest of the season, you won't regret it. But you probably could get more value streaming that spot. Vassell's current peripherals legit. So I said what I think he'll be moving forward is 20-ish points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. If Chris Paul misses time, like there's scope for him for his assists to go up a little bit or down a little bit. So I would say 3.5 to 5. The rebounds are 4 to 5, steals 1 to 1.2, and the points will fluctuate, I think, between sort of 18 and 23. He's not going to be one of those guys that will come out very often and score 40 or anything like that, especially with Wemby on the team. But, yeah, I do think there is some peripheral sustainability there for the sell. And that will do for today's show. That was all six games. We have how many games tomorrow? Let us have a look. New Year's Eve here tomorrow, but I'll still do a show. I may not do it. Oh, hang on. Ooh. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games tomorrow. So there will be a pre-game show, absolutely, in the morning. The post-game show, a little bit more questionable because I do have a New Year's Eve function to attend at a friend's house, which will probably start before the game's finished. So maybe I'll do an early show where I could cover like half the games. We'll see. There might be, there might not be, but there will be a pre-game show. That will do for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. Please go and download and subscribe, as we always ask you to do. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.